B1 listening paper, set 1. Task 1. You're going to hear a lecture about the use of touch in medical and therapeutic settings. For questions 1 to 5, choose the correct answer, A, B or C. First, you will have 1 minute to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. After the second listening, you will have 1 minute to finalise your answers.
In today's lecture, I'm going to talk about the importance of the sense of touch, both in medical and therapeutic settings. This is a controversial area, but a recent survey of around 40,000 patients and clients cast new light on how patients themselves feel about being touched. Here I'm not referring to touch as a method of diagnosis, but rather a doctor touching the hand of a patient in distress, or putting their hand on a patient's shoulder. Not surprisingly, the patients who were most positive about being touched in this way were older people, many of whom live alone and really miss physical contact. Children were not included in this survey, but another group who were surprisingly positive about touch in medical settings were men of all ages. The experts conclude that this may be because touch can express more than words, particularly if a patient is feeling vulnerable. In my experience, touch is invaluable in medical settings. I often find myself holding the hand of a patient who is in tears, having just had negative test results. I view touch as one of the most important tools that a doctor can use to build trust between the doctor and the patient, along with reassuring manner, patience, kindness, and an ability to listen effectively. Unfortunately, more and more doctor-patient consultations are now taking place online. While this is positive in terms of saving time, particularly the patient's time, as it means that a poorly patient doesn't have to visit the surgery in person, there are some negative consequences when it comes to touch. For example, the doctor can't press the patient's stomach to establish whether he or she is just suffering from wind or constipation, or whether it's something more serious, like appendicitis. Of course, it's still possible for the doctor to be empathetic and to give patients the reassurance they need verbally. But in an online consultation, the doctor is forced to rely on the patient's words and their own description of their symptoms. Now, many of you here today are trainee doctors and therapists, and I know what I term talking therapists are explicitly told during their training that any physical contact between the therapist and their client is a big no-no. And yet I know from my own experience that it is impossible to stop yourself touching the shoulder or the hand of a distressed patient who is in a flood of tears. And it seems practicing therapists feel the same. According to the survey, a significant number of clients in therapy reported that their therapist had comforted them on at least one occasion using touch. Not only that, but just under half of the survey participants said that they would welcome some form of touch from their therapist if they were feeling distressed. As a result of these findings, the writers of the report propose that a review of therapy training is urgently needed. Of course, there are a number of therapies that involve touch, including massage, reflexology, and acupressure. Although the claims that are made about the beneficial effects of these touch therapies often tend to be exaggerated. For example, there is no evidence that these therapies can cure a medical condition, although there is evidence that they are useful in treating patients suffering from mental health problems who undoubtedly benefit from physical touch. But to my mind, these therapies, while beneficial in terms of patient well-being, are no substitute for good old-fashioned medicine. I feel they should be used to complement mainstream medicine, not to replace it. This links nicely with the link to stress and physical health.
Now listen again.
In today's lecture, I'm going to talk about the importance of the sense of touch, both in medical and therapeutic settings. This is a controversial area, but a recent survey of around 40,000 patients and clients cast new light on how patients themselves feel about being touched. Here I'm not referring to touch as a method of diagnosis, but rather a doctor touching the hand of a patient in distress, or putting their hand on a patient's shoulder. Not surprisingly, the patients who were most positive about being touched in this way were older people, many of whom live alone and really miss physical contact. Children were not included in this survey, but another group who were surprisingly positive about touch in medical settings were men of all ages. The experts conclude that this may be because touch can express more than words, particularly if a patient is feeling vulnerable. In my experience, touch is invaluable in medical settings. I often find myself holding the hand of a patient who is in tears, having just had negative test results. I view touch as one of the most important tools that a doctor can use to build trust between the doctor and the patient, along with reassuring manner, patience, kindness, and an ability to listen effectively. Unfortunately, more and more doctor-patient consultations are now taking place online. While this is positive in terms of saving time, particularly the patient's time, as it means that a poorly patient doesn't have to visit the surgery in person, there are some negative consequences when it comes to touch. For example, the doctor can't press the patient's stomach to establish whether he or she is just suffering from wind or constipation, or whether it's something more serious, like appendicitis. Of course, it's still possible for the doctor to be empathetic and to give patients the reassurance they need verbally. But in an online consultation, the doctor is forced to rely on the patient's words and their own description of their symptoms. Now, many of you here today are trainee doctors and therapists, and I know what I term talking therapists are explicitly told during their training that any physical contact between the therapist and their client is a big no-no. And yet I know from my own experience that it is impossible to stop yourself touching the shoulder or the hand of a distressed patient who is in a flood of tears. And it seems practicing therapists feel the same. According to the survey, a significant number of clients in therapy reported that their therapist had comforted them on at least one occasion using touch. Not only that, but just under half of the survey participants said that they would welcome some form of touch from their therapist if they were feeling distressed. As a result of these findings, the writers of the report propose that a review of therapy training is urgently needed. Of course, there are a number of therapies that involve touch, including massage, reflexology, and acupressure, although the claims that are made about the beneficial effects of these touch therapies often tend to be exaggerated. For example, there is no evidence that these therapies can cure a medical condition, although there is evidence that they are useful in treating patients suffering from mental health problems, who undoubtedly benefit from physical touch. But to my mind, these therapies, while beneficial in terms of patient well-being, are no substitute for good old-fashioned medicine. I feel they should be used to complement mainstream medicine, not to replace it. This links nicely with the link to stress and physical health.
That is the end of task 1.